Welcome to True Worldview, your place for intelligent conversation on ultimate questions and the issues that matter. I'm Christy Johnson. I'm here with Paul Dean. Today, we're talking about marriage, specifically five things you can do every day for a happier marriage.
Christy, this is one of the things that I really enjoy talking about. On the one hand, marriage is awesome. I've been married for something like 35 years, and it's great. It gets better every year. But at the same time, I'm here to say to you, it's not easy. A couple of sinners living together, if you know what I mean. We got to figure out how to be committed to glorify God each and every day. We got to be committed to loving one another each and every day. And, you know, there are a lot of things that the world tells us that we can do for a happier marriage. And some of the suggestions that we get are not all that bad. And, you know, we can do all kinds of things, but I think there's some steady things that we can do because, you know, the world sort of focuses on, you know, certain dynamics like buying things. And we know that things don't satisfy, or they might say, you guys just need to take a trip together. You know, if your marriage is in trouble, just take a trip together. Well, you know what the problem is if you take a trip together when you're trying to fix your marriage?
You're going to get mad at each other on the trip, too.
That's right. Yeah, we usually say you're bringing yourselves on the trip. That's the problem, yeah. You know. And if you're the problem and you go on a trip, doesn't matter if you're in your home state, if you're in your home country, or if you're in Tahiti or Hawaii, it just doesn't matter. You're there too, and, you know, you're part of the problem. And so, you know, again, the world says, well, don't you spice things up? But usually marriage problems go much deeper than that. And so what we want to talk about, we could talk about a lot of things. In fact, we could do an entire series on this, no doubt, Christy. But I think what we want to do is highlight five things that you can do, you should do every single day without fail. These are just habits that you need to inculcate into your lives. And if you do that, then you'll have a much better opportunity at having a happier marriage.
Yeah. And I just want to add to the world's solutions to having a happier marriage. I do see a trend nowadays to actually think a little bit more deeply about marriage problems, and maybe even identify that some of the problems in your marriage need to start with you, but or some of the solutions need to start with working on yourself, but it's in a way where they miss the fact that we are both sinners. Both people in the relationship are both sinners, and that's a very crucial thing, and we miss that. We need to be seeking the Lord's will for our marriage. And I think a lot of the world's solutions focus on self-care and loving yourself and that kind of thing. And we see a radically different approach in the Bible, which says denying yourself and laying down your life for your spouse and preferring your spouse over yourself. So just wanted to throw in that caveat before we go ahead and talk about the five things that you should be doing every day. And obviously this is not an exhaustive list like you mentioned, but let's go ahead and get into it. I think one thing you can do is talk about the things of God together every day.
Yeah, because that certainly keeps both of you focused on God. And not only does it keep you focused on God, which is where our focus needs to be. And, you know, you said we need to consider our spouse better than ourselves. That's absolutely right. I mean, Paul says, consider others better than yourself, but you can't do that unless you're focused on God. And so if you're focused on God and you're focused on God together, you're growing in your relationship together. And, you know, we say this right here at the outset because true happiness does not come apart from a vital relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right. That's right.
So, you know, you want to talk together, converse about the things of God. And listen, when you get closer to God, he's going to be doing that sanctifying work in your heart. And so you're going to be dealing with yourself, which is one of the things that we need to do. And you mentioned that a little bit earlier. But you get closer to God, both of you get closer to God, well, then obviously you can't help but get closer to one another. I mean, it's not only that you're dealing with your own sin and doing some other things that we'll mention, but you just enjoy the Lord, and then you begin to enjoy one another as well, and you have something rich and something deeper than say physicality, for example, in your relationship. I mean, physicality is great, but that's not the only thing. And so there are tremendous benefits to just talking about the things of God, you know, every single day. Then you don't have to set aside an hour or 2 hours, but just a little bit of time every day where you're literally talking together, a dialogue about the things of God.
Yeah. And you said, as you get closer to God, you'll get closer to your spouse. And that's absolutely true, because the closer you get to God, the more you are enjoying Him and worshiping Him, and the more it seems like our problems kind of melt away when we're keeping our eyes on Jesus, and the more we're going to be walking in the Spirit and loving each other. But yeah, I think talking together every day, even if it's, you know, like you mentioned, something small, but, you know, maybe reading a scripture together, having a devotional together, or even just talking about a Christian article that you read or something that you saw, or studying together. We have a lot of studies through churches and things like that. But I do think that studying together as husband and wife is really, really beneficial, not just studies that you might be doing at church, or maybe do the studies that you're doing at church together, work on them together, talk about theology, worldview, and just thinking biblically and doing that every day. You know, not all of those things every day. Maybe you're doing all of those things every day, but at least, which that would be awesome, but at least a daily appointment where you're conversing about these things together.
No, I mean, I don't know that you could do all of those things every day, as you say, but, you know, again, that conversation, maybe you can have a set time. I mean, everybody has different schedules, and so you'd have to figure out what works for you, and it might be kind of a different time on different days, but just get together, you know. And one of the things that my wife and I love to do, we'll get hold of something that lands on us in the scriptures, or maybe it's a theological issue that someone has raised. And, you know, it's kind of, you've got a seed in your mind, and the more you look at scripture over time, the more that seed grows. And part of the way that it grows is not only looking at scripture over time, but talking to one another about it over time. There's so many things that, you know, my wife and I have talked about that, we've grown in our understanding of a particular issue in the scriptures, and you mentioned worldview as well. Just the way we look at the world. I mean, it's so vastly different than the way we looked at the world 35 years ago. And part of that, certainly growing in grace, but growing in grace together, learning to view the decisions that we make as husband and wife, as a family, through the biblical lens, learning to think biblically more and more every day. So we could go on, Christy, and you may have something to add, but these are just some of the things that I'm thinking about, that we're thinking about when we say, look, you need to talk to each other every single day about the things of God.
Yeah, and we all know life can get really busy, life can get in the way, but really if you're not making time for something like this, or not even maybe in certain seasons, there would be a time where making an actual scheduled time every day would be impossible, you know, if you have small children or whatever. But I do believe that if you don't schedule things, they never happen. If you don't plan for them, they never happen. So maybe just, you know, I know a couple who they get together every morning and have coffee together for a few minutes. Or my husband and I, we like to take walks outside. The weather here's really nice usually throughout the year, so we'll take a walk every day for, you know, even just 15 minutes, but that gives us a chance to connect and make time for those things. So whatever it is that, you know, you guys like to do, your particular relationship, maybe it's before bed or something, who knows, but there's many ideas, and it's just really important to make that time together. But I think also another thing besides talking about the things of God together every day is examining your own heart every day and seeing what are some sin areas in your life, and where can you make changes in your life. I like to do this by journaling almost every morning. I'll journal and really examine my heart and see where God can change me and ask for him to change me.
Yeah, if you're not looking at your own heart through the lens of Scripture, you're not really seeing it like you ought to. I mean, we're kind of blinded to it. The heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? We don't always know what's going on unless we look in the mirror of the Word. I'm thinking of that James passage that says, you know, be doers of the Word and not hearers only. If you're just a hearer of the Word, you're like a person who looks in the mirror and you see how, you know, disheveled you are, for example, then you go away and forget about it. Well, it's the Word that tells us what's going on in our hearts. I mean, Hebrews tells us that the Word of God is, you know, sharper than a double-edged sword. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. And so we look in the Word, we see what's going on there, and then we've got to make some changes. And it goes back to what you said a little bit earlier, how we're both sinners, and that's why we have to examine our hearts in this way. And you know, marriage is a sanctifying kind of dynamic. And, you know, the Spirit is the one who sanctifies, Christy, but we have the responsibility to look at our hearts, examine our hearts, and then do the things that God has called us to do by faith. It's not a works dynamic. It's a faith dynamic. But, you know, Paul gives a little formula, and you and I have talked about this before, and I hate to use that term, but he gives it in a number of places in the New Testament. He says, you know, you're to put off sinful habit patterns, you're to replace them with godly habit patterns, and you do that through the renewing of your mind. I mean, I've heard you talk about that so often, and I think it's critically important.
Yeah, if you are just, you know, saying, oh, I want to be free from anger, or, oh, I want to be free from being judgmental or not, or unkind or impatient or whatever it is, that's good that you're making that observation and seeing that those sin areas in your life. I think it's a gift to be, to have those revealed to you, to be convicted of that. But if you just leave it there, that's not enough. You have to put on, you have to put off the bad, put on the good, and replace it with what God says in Scripture. So put off anger and put on love, compassion, patience, put off, you know, unkindness and put on kindness, and ask for the Lord to work in your heart in that way. And I think it does require careful work, careful searching of the Scriptures, and searching Bible verses that are applicable to whatever you're wrestling with, and memorizing them so that you can think about them in the moment when you're tempted to feel angry or be unkind or impatient or whatever it is. And I think that also another thing I would add is that when you're doing this, when you're examining your own heart, the key is that you're examining your own heart in marriage and you're not examining your spouse's heart, because how many times are we tempted to think about what they did or where they were, quote unquote, wrong in the situation, or where we think they were wrong, and then just focus on that and then let that fester. No, this is a time where you're focusing on your sin and examining your own heart and seeing where you can change, because ultimately I really think that we're only responsible for our own change through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can pray for our spouse to change if there is something where they need to change or whatever, but we need to take responsibility for our own sins and to take those to the Lord.
Yeah, and just to reiterate, that comes through your scripture study and your scripture memorization and reading. Yeah. You know, Paul says through the renewing of your mind, and he, you know, the Lord renews your mind through his Word, and that's what enables you to put off those sinful things and replace them with those goddesses. And that's very important. You mentioned that, you know, it's not enough to, you know, stop lying, for example. If you just stop lying, well, you're a liar who's not lying at the moment.
Yeah.
You've got to become a truth teller. And, you know, if you're a truth teller, well, you might mess up and lie. Well, then you repent. You're just a truth teller who fell into sin, and you repent, if I could put it that way. And so all of that comes through renewing your mind, focus on God, focusing on others, and anyway, examining your own heart. So every single day, you know, these these conversations about the things of God. Every single day, examine your own heart. And then, Christy, I think every single day, you got to resolve conflict. And listen to me, not just resolve conflict, you got to resolve it quickly. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, don't let those conflicts just fall by the wayside without even thinking about it. I think so often you can get in, you know, a argument or whatever, and then just not revisit it later, or just stay up on your branch, as I heard someone say, like, I'm not coming down from the branch. I'm staying here where I, in my selfishness. You can stay there or let it fester or whatever, but you've got to deal with it quickly, because if you don't deal with it quickly, then it's going to lead to, I think, bitterness. And it's also going to lead to even more problems down the road, where you just, you know, get so irritated because you've just let it fester, and it's not good. It needs to be dealt with quickly and immediately, the same day, if possible.
Oh, sure, sure. Well, I mean, Paul says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. And that's what he means. He did take care of it quickly. And, you know, Hebrews tells us that root of bitterness causes all kinds of other problems. And so, yeah, I think you're absolutely right to go down that road. And, you know, we're talking about resolving conflict. You have to be willing to confess your sins. You know, you sin against your spouse. You got to confess. You got to repent. I mean, that's what Christians are. We are repenters. And if we're not willing to do that, we've got a major problem, right?
Yeah. If you're not willing to repent, then you're missing out on the grace that God gives through forgiveness and through a restored relationship and through walking with the Spirit. You know, you can't walk with the Spirit if you have unresolved sin that you're still holding on to in your life. And I think it's the same with your spouse. If you're unwilling to repent, it's going to cause major, major problems practically and spiritually.
Yes, right.
Yeah. And I think that so often you can wait for the other person to repent. I think that in marriage, you should be the first one to repent. You know, whoever I'm talking to right now, the husband or the wife, it's you. You should be the first one to repent.
Yeah, that's hard. You know, I mean, my wife and I tell folks sometimes, you know, maybe we've had a disagreement and, you know, maybe we said some things to each other. But we both feel the convicting work of the Spirit, and we both want to reconcile. We both don't want to be out of sorts with one another. We want to make up, but sometimes we can both be kind of stubborn and we're waiting for the other to make the first move, and everything will be fine if they'll just do that. But like you're saying, and this is probably one of the best pieces of advice that I could ever give, and you just gave it, and that is be the first. You're going to be so glad. Initiate, because it gets everything done quickly. It doesn't matter ultimately who initiates. You both contributed. You're both wrong, but you both want to be right with God. And you want to be right with each other. So, yeah, take the first step. Swallow that pride. That's what it takes, but just do it, right?
Yeah, it does take humility, because it's so easy for us to just hold on to our pride and our sin and you know, hurt feelings. Maybe there are hurt feelings, and it's just so easy for us to hold on to that. But it's so much more freeing, and it honors God if you let go of that and repent and confess and restore the relationship. I was watching a video on YouTube recently, and someone was talking about something he did that started transforming his marriage. And what he does is every morning he will journal. If they got into a disagreement the previous day, every morning he will journal about it from an objective point of view and kind of analyze, well, what happened? Why did we start being short with each other? You know, why did this happen? And he said even just writing it down caused him to realize how much he was in the wrong in those situations. Because so often we think, well, they're in the wrong. But he was like, no, really, this is pretty much all my fault. and right. I think you'll see, you know, if you actually step back and think about it, you'll see how, wow, I was in the wrong there. And he said even writing that down caused him to see that, because he was having to go back and revisit it. But also then what it started doing is when he would feel himself, you know, about to be getting into an argument or something, he would think about, oh man, I'm going to have to write this down tomorrow. So then he would just be nice and he would stop right then and it would stop the conflict right there.
That's
right. And this person's a Christian. So I know that they had the right intentions and everything. So, you know, even just thinking, you know what, just thinking more objectively and thinking this is not good. So why not just resolve it now instead of waiting until tomorrow morning? It's so much better. And so it's helped them to actually get into so much more fewer disagreements.
Yeah, I like
being
that.
Kind.
Yeah. I'm going to write this down tomorrow morning. And when I do, I am not going to be the problem. So I'm just going to stop.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that. I think the other thing too, and because we don't want to rush on without saying this, you know, we talked about confessing and repenting. I mean, this we've been, you know, talking about, but you have to be quick to forgive as well, right? I mean, say your spouse comes and, you know, say it's my wife and she humbles herself and says, you know what, I was wrong. Well, that's the time for me to confess my sin back to her, but also quickly forgive and not, you know, harbor any bitterness and reconcile immediately. Listen, biblical forgiveness, Christy, it means more than just sort of making up and by the way, repentance means more than just saying I'm sorry. You know, you can be sorry that you guys were out of sorts, but you need to seek forgiveness for sinning against your spouse. Obviously, you get to deal with God, but then you deal with your spouse. So you're saying I was wrong on this, and then forgiveness means, you know, you're not going to dwell on it. You're not going to throw it in their face, you know, in the future. You're not going to gossip about it, that kind of thing. So you got to make sure that you really understand what repentance is and confession, and you got to understand what forgiveness is.
Yeah. You know, one thing that I'm really glad that we did, that you and Mom fostered in our family, was that atmosphere of forgiveness. I think that's one thing I learned really well from you guys, is that you got to ask for forgiveness and you also forgive as well. And forgiving means all those things that you said, not bringing it up again, not holding against them, not gossiping. But one thing that I do that's bad is sometimes I will use forgiveness as an excuse to like go ahead and say what I want to say that's unkind, because I'll say like, oh, well, I can just ask for forgiveness about it later and it'll be fine because they're supposed to forgive me. Well, that's not good.
No, that is not good.
That's not how, you know, forgiveness is supposed to be used, because that's not real repentance in my heart. You know,
right.
If I say I'm just going to do this anyways, that's not repentance. That's actually not turning away from my sin. So, man, the heart is deceitfully wicked. We got to be careful for these things.
Yeah, that's right. And you really got to humble yourself. That's, you know, we've said it, but that's what it takes when you're, you know, talking about those things. And look, if you're a believer, the Holy Spirit is going to bring conviction. And so don't quench the Spirit. You know, I would say that on the way to our next issue. Don't quench the Spirit. You want to humble yourself before God as well. What does the Bible say? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will lift you up. And that's what you want. You want you and your spouse, your marriage, the whole bit to be lifted up. But I think we need to move on, Christy, before we get too bogged down, if that's all right with you. I think every single day, resolve conflict quickly. But how about this? And this is a little tricky sometimes, but you have to challenge one another spiritually. I think you see, you know, that kind of dynamic in Galatians 6:1, for example. If you see someone overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. Examine your own heart before you do. Speak the truth in love, all that. And again, you know, you said earlier, we're not really to focus on the sins of our spouse when we're examining our own hearts and all that. And that is absolutely true. But there may be something going on, you know, we give each other permission, if I could put it that way. I mean, God wants us to do it, but, you know, if you're overly sensitive, that's tough. But you know, your mom and I, we give each other permission to challenge each other spiritually, and it's so helpful.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you brought up Galatians 6:1, and I think the key to that verse is what it says later is restore such a one in a spirit of meekness. And I think that's so important, because so often we could use, you know, we could take our spouse's flaw as an opportunity to say, well, let me help you out and show you how, you know, you really need to work on this. And I've done so great at this, and here you can follow my example, 'cause I'm so great, or whatever, you know, and just a totally prideful way that is either proud because you feel like you're better than them, or that is just like not compassionate because you're being unkind to them. And I think the spirit of meekness is the key. You've got to, you know, pull the log out of your own eye before you take the speck out of your brother's eye. And I think that applies in marriage as well, is being, you know, having that atmosphere of, like you said, giving each other permission to challenge each other. Because if your spouse sees that, you know, they know that you're willing to be challenged, then when you come and challenge them, it's not going to hurt as much, because they know that you're accepting of that as well. And I'm kind of getting a little bit bogged down, but I'm just trying to say that we need to consider each other, be humble, and instead of using it as an opportunity to point out their sin and say how bad we think it is, be humble and point them to Christ and you know, speak in love.
Yeah, it's not about taking somebody to the woodshed.
Yeah, exactly.
it's about helping one another glorify God and be better spouses, be better partners, you know, that kind of thing. And speaking the truth in love, as you said, and you know, these things are hard, but again, so tremendously beneficial. And you know, you got to receive it when they come and challenge you. You got to receive it, and you know, there's going to be times when you don't, and that's when you know the one who is kind of doing the challenging, probably at that point you can back off a little bit, because again, the Spirit's at work. And then, you know, the one who received the challenge or was challenged can come back around and say, you know what, you're right, I thought about it. And it's a whole lot easier, I'll just be honest with you, Christy, it's a whole lot easier for me to receive a challenge or rebuke or whatever if I don't get beat up, you know what I mean? If I don't get pounded. And so my wife says it just the right way, and if I don't receive it at first, she can back off. Well, that helps me to, you know, get where I need to be a lot quicker, whereas if she were hammering me sort of, I just dig in, you know what I mean? I'm in the corner. I'm going to do the rope-a-dope for a little while, but then I'm going to come out swinging, you see.
Yeah,
metaphorically, I'm just kidding. But I'm kidding about the swinging. I meant it metaphorically. Anyway, how about this, Christy? Last thing. You ready? Literally every single day, we got to pray for each other. We got to pray for our spouses. Because why? Because you got to get God in on this. This isn't something that we can do on our own. God actually has to do a sanctifying work, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. Forgiveness and humility and conviction of sin and love and kindness and all these things, they're gifts from God. And we have to be praying for them in order to receive them, I think. I mean, they're gifts. It's not in a works way, but what I'm saying is, you know, what James says, faith without works is dead. But they are gifts, and so we should be praying for them for ourselves, yes, but also for our spouses. And I think being specific in your prayers as well will help you to even see answers to prayer. You know, if your spouse is struggling, you know, maybe just not being happy in a certain area, pray for that. And if I think if you are concerned about someone's spiritual well-being, it's a lot harder to be mad at them. And my husband does a great job challenging me to do this, even with people in my life, other people in my life, you know. I think it's easy to get offended sometime, and I shouldn't get offended, but he always tells me you should be praying for that person instead of complaining about them or talking about them. Why are you, you know, take that to God. And then it's true. If I'm praying about someone, then I'm actually concerned for them, and I'm able to love them better.
Yeah. Hard to, you know, as you're saying, be mad at somebody you're praying for and, you know, not love them. It's also hard to be praying for others without being convicted of your own sin.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, so many benefits to praying for one another. And, Chris, I think it all comes down to, you know, what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 6:33. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Mm-hmm. You do that, and all these things will be added to you.
Yeah, absolutely. So, to recap, talk about the things of God together every day. Examine your own heart every day. Resolve conflict quickly every day. Challenge one another spiritually every day and pray for one another every day. And I really do think that these things, and among others, but these things will just revolutionize your marriage and help bring you guys closer to God and closer to each other.
That's right. And that's what we want. We want to know and magnify God more and more and love one another more and more as well. So join us next time on True Worldview.
You've been listening to True Worldview, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical perspective. To access archived broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources as well. Thanks for listening, and join us next time on True Worldview.
The gospel.